This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, the thing about making history, you never really try to make it. It just happens.
The journey started with an iPhone and an idea, and it led to our living room, creating content that changed the world forever.
Earn Your Leisure Podcast, episode 6, Time Flies.
Like we always say, man, we came with no expectations, just knowing that we wanted to educate people, especially from our community.
Oh my God, assets overvalue and all these great things.
And like, these are the results of it, man. People have been supporting at a tremendous level, so thank you so much for the support. And we got some more stuff we got coming though. Invest Fest is the festival that the world needed but never had.
Backdrop.
So we took things into our own hands and made it happen for the world, but by the culture.
Shout out to yourselves for being in the right place every day.
Yeah. Invest Fest is the premier destination for investors around the world.
It's a sanctuary for all entrepreneurs and investors.
It's the yearly pilgrimage to bring brands and businesses together and push them to new heights. Welcome to Invest Fest, where culture and commerce connect. Ernest, what's going on? Traditional universities are outdated and don't teach you how to become an entrepreneur. They just teach you how to become an employee.
You go to school for 4 years and you leave with nothing but debt. But here at EYL University, our curriculum is much different.
Our university teaches you real-world skills that you can use to gain financial freedom right away. In traditional universities, you learn from professors that have never did what they teach, and they teach you how to become an employee. At our university, we use instructors that are currently successful in a specific field that they teach, and they teach you how to become an entrepreneur.
For a limited time only, you can join EYL University for 25% off of the annual membership. Learn about stock stocks, credit, real estate, crypto, and more. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up to become an earner.
Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop. All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, we are finishing out our legendary run in LA, and this is something that just came about spontaneous, but I'm sure it's going to be a classic, memorable episode. So if you know Earn Your Leisure, you know that we are huge, huge sports fans. Me, I used to play basketball, but I didn't go as far as our esteemed guest today, who's an NBA legend, John Sally, but even more impressive is what he's done off the court. He's an entrepreneur, a true Renaissance man. Yeah, we just got finished talking about watches. He gave us a whole watch education.
Timepieces.
He also gave us an in-depth conversation into the history of photography and cameras. So maybe we'll get into that.
So yeah, he's a restaurateur, which is ironic. My sister, shout out to Tahira. She actually hit me up. I told you 3 weeks ago, like, we got to go to this place. And so that's ironic. A vegan restaurant in San Bernardino, California. We'll talk about that. He's a marijuana enthusiast, but even bigger than that, he's a marijuana entrepreneur, which is extremely important. Shout out to Al Harrington. There's a few guys that have transitioned from sports to the cannabis industry.
Yeah.
And it's growing. So that's dope to see. Yeah. An investor. He's in media. Am I forgetting anything?
Four-time champion.
Well, yeah.
That whole NBA stuff.
Yeah, you've got all the NBA.
I said NBA legend.
You just said you never made it that far.
No, yeah. I said he's an NBA legend.
That's why he didn't want to get into it. You got to understand. I was sitting around going.
How many? There's only a few players that have won championships with three franchises.
Yeah.
You're one of them. Robert Horry, LeBron, like six people. Seven.
Tim, yeah. I you know what the trip is that life was 20 years ago, 21 years now, and you run in. I literally can't believe I did it. I know it sounds crazy, and I have smoked a lot of cannabis since then, but I didn't smoke until my last month as a Laker, and I was 36 years old, and then I haven't missed a day. No. I'm like, whoa, whatever. I really feel if I would have smoked weed from the 80s, I could have played until I was 50. I could have played until I was like 10 more years in my 40s because I'm a big man and I take care of my body with plant-based eating and making sure all the nutrients. But I didn't like it anymore. I got to a point where it became, it wasn't fun. And the reason it wasn't fun is because it was so much pressure on winning. I think that's why I said why Durant's legs go and why guys get hurt, why Clay. I mean, it's so much more mental stress on you. That's why you get a stress fracture inside. It's just, it's a crazy, crazy thought that your body goes through that because you put it under so much stress.
And so the marijuana would have eased the stress?
Yeah, because my stress level, man, I was very intense. You would not know it because I'm a smile and giggle, but I'm really growling and trying to kill you. And not physically, like I was going to play physical, but I'm thin. Mm-hmm. I was just going to beat you to spots and be quicker and nag the hell out of you. Shaq used to say, you show me all those tricks and, you know, these pinching tricks. It was all like martial arts stuff. Up close. So I would pinch and grab and kick your leg further and pull your jersey and talk about your girl wearing white jeans. One time I was leaning down. I'm serious. As a ball, this girl walked down. I was like, damn, yo, who's that? It's such and such wife. I ain't going to say his name. I was like, she's banging. He was like, yeah. She come to the game with him. Now I was like, oh, okay. And I was sitting down, and I was like, man, you see that girl up there in the white jeans? She's, man, I sent my number up there with the ball boy. I can't wait till this game's over. This dude stands up and looks at me. I swear it was the worst game he ever had. He ran trying to hit me the whole time. Every time he did something, he was in my face. I know he was trying to show off. And then by the third quarter, I said, what's your problem? He said, man, you talking about my wife. I said, I know I'm talking about your wife. What, you think I'm here to play you? I'm here to get in your head. He was like, oh, damn, Sal. I was like, yeah, I don't. Yeah, I got, my wife is the baddest girl in the stands. Can't you see? Behind the glass.
So I want to talk about the entrepreneurship, but before that, let's get into this NBA conversation. How has the game changed? The 80s, everybody always talks about nostalgic people from that era.
Yeah.
Like, the game is so soft these days, and you know, it would have been tremendously harder for the guys to this era. I don't fully believe that, but I want to get it from your perspective because you played in that era.
Yeah.
How is that different from now?
The difference then is you there was more men playing the game. There's a lot of young boys playing now. When I came in the league, I had to go against Maurice Lucas, who tried to break my wrist. I mean, literally try to hold it and then like break it. And I was like, yo, you try to break my wrist. He was like, don't touch me. <You know? laughs> Like, how do you not touch him, right? And they were grown men, Moses Malone, Dr. J. These dudes were men. And so there was a lot of, you know, bang and hold, and men, the big guys didn't move as much. And the lane was left to them. It was an understanding. The hand check changed the game. Michael Jordan's hands are that much bigger than mine, and he would grab you by the waist, push you out of the way, and shoot a winning shot. No. He'd grab you by the waist and push you this way. And you can't do that now. You can't touch anybody. The NBA realized that what made it exciting in China, because the game is designed for China now. What I mean by that is no yelling at the ref, no throwing tension tantrums and being passionate. Before you do that, the ref looks at you and says, just shut up. Now, that's a tech. I'm going to throw you out the game because no insubordination. And each player is now equal to a Fortune 500 player. When I came in the NBA, I had the fourth highest pay on the team at $230,000 a year.
Mm. What year was that?
1986.
86.
And I did the black man wish and went straight to the BMW. I got my contract. You got a contract. I didn't know what that meant. I was waiting there as they opened up. Yo, give me that L7. Pull that, you know, the dumb thing. And I also think that players now, all the matrix of the game, the analytics of the game are so on point. Everybody's shooting the long ball. They want to see scoring. The way we played was bang, 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 whoever came out alive, that was the thing. It's not like that anymore. It's and most of the rules were put in because of us. So no breakaway fouls. Remember Dennis Rodman pushed Scotty.
Us, yeah. Bad boy Pistons.
Yeah. They made it. They put it on us. But it was so funny. If you talk to everybody else, Celtics, the bad boys were the Celtics.
That's what I said. It was the Celtics first doing all the dirty stuff.
They were ridiculously dirty.
And yours was like, I felt like the McHale era, the things he was doing, it was just a retaliation. Like, we have to beat them, so we have to do a little bit more.
Yeah, you have to. And you had guys that would come off the bench that will destroy you, and you look like they were in the stands 5 minutes ago.
You said something that was interesting. You said a few things. China, you said it's made for China. What do you mean by that?
So the NBA's biggest market is China. And the reason I say that is there's 1.3 million people.
Billion.
There's 379 million in America.
Right.
When Houston played, 300 million people watched. So all of America watched one game.
Off of Yao Ming.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when I think it was the somebody lost. We beat this game, second championship, 1990, as opposed to David Stern handing us the rings like he's supposed to. The assistant GM came because he was with Utah and another team in China. It was more important to put on that show, and we had to change the way things are going. You see, LeBron had been to China, 9 times now?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Beijing 2 years ago, there's an NBA court, and the only black people you see there are in those pictures on the court. So they focused on pushing the game, that part of international. We already did Europe. The European influx came in It started coming in the early 80s and then got huge in the 2000s. So, and then there was the African influx. There was Akeem Olajuwon. There was Manute Bol. And then
Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe. Yeah. Then it all switched. Now it became an international game.
Yeah.
So I would, but it's mostly focused on selling our product, the product in China.
Yeah, I think the Dream Team was super inspirational in that, especially like from the European countries, the impact that that team had going to Barcelona.
Yeah.
The fandom that created. You get stars like Dirk, and then Dirk leads to getting Luka. So I wonder
Luka's
who
Luka's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's different. I feel like the from the Chinese standpoint, we had Yao Ming. I guess we can say Jeremy Lin had a moment, but there hasn't been that next star.
Yeah, they're in China.
Okay.
And it's just like they did in Japan with baseball. Some of the best baseball players in the world in Japan. Mm. When America opened up to Japanese baseball. I'm going to say when I just saw that Space Jam was coming out again with LeBron, I said it before, the reason it was so big that Michael Jordan was Space Jam is Warner Brothers wanted to get into China. They wanted to get in with Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny. They wanted to take their images, because they don't need our comic images. They have, in the Asian world, they have all these other cartoons. And they wanted to get into China and sell their stuff. And Michael Jordan was the biggest thing in China. So now the biggest thing in China is LeBron, and Warner Brothers is back selling their product again to the new wave of kids trying to understand Space Jam.
So you also said something that was interesting. You said players now is like Fortune 500 companies. Like, the amount of money that's being made now, do you think that has compromised the... Because like when you guys played, like you said, you was making money relative to the times.
Right.
But the money that's made now...
Is amazing.
Yeah. So as far as the business side of that, how do you think that has changed the competitive landscape, or just changed the game, period?
Well, it changed the game, period, because you're not fouling anybody. You used to be, if a guy comes in the lane, he's going to get up, he pumps fakes you, you just come down on him, you foul him, but make him earn it on the foul line. That's not happening anymore. You cannot hurt any of nothing even close in the way where they might be out, because that is moving money. Not saying you're supposed to, but you used to be able to chuck a guy coming through the lane. Small guy coming to the lane, you should be able to bump him, slow him down. Now you can't do any of those kind of things. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, but they are Fortune 500 companies, and they should literally treat it as such. But they don't know that, because it's still a great thing to sit there in a draft and have your people grab you and hug you. They still wearing gold chains outside on suits.
I thought you did that.
Oh, never. No, I was Italian, double-breasted down.
From New York,
Brooklyn. Yeah, I wasn't having it, no.
No, from New York.
But you run into these cats, and I would want to tell them. I was working with this great agent. He has 17 players. And I was like, let me put your players through life when you get them, meaning... Let's whiteboard everything they want. You want a Lambo truck? You want a Benz that moves up and down? You want a Rolex? You want a Pate Philippe? You want a Richard Mille? And then I show them all that. And I said, so you want to be a rapper? So your mind is that you made it. And I remember one time I was coming back to do John Sally Day and my project in Bayview. My brother set it up. It was doing like this little block party. We playing against Brookline Project and against us. And so, they're going to come. Everything is going to be cool. And I was in a limousine. And I made the limousine go way past my park where no one saw me. I got out and I told them where to meet me. And I walked into the park from the back way. And everybody was like, we wait for you over here. Where's your car? I was like, I took the bus. Right? I just realized if I was going to have any normalcy that day, I couldn't pull up different than I did when I was younger. And I tell cats all the time, like my wife and daughters, I had 20 acres of Malibu for $40,000 and I didn't buy it.
Talk about that. You said you have 40 acres in Malibu for $40,000. What year was this?
1987.
By the water?
No, you can see the water, which is better. It's this is some... Look, y'all, I'm just telling you because I experienced it. It's not really good to be right on the water because you don't hear anything. It's a great sleep, but your house is going to corrode from all kind of things, a ton of things. And in the wintertime, and I tell people, the beach is not hot, it's not good in the wintertime. And you're going to have this gloom. You're never going to see the sun till 2 o'clock. It's a depressing place to be when you're right up on the water. When you're away from the water, looking down, you can see lights, you can see the coast, you can see the water, you can see landscape, but you still get the ions from the ocean, meaning that good ocean breeze. That's a better way to be. I know that sounds like some rich shit, but I thought I wasn't trying to. I just lived it and moved in a position to understand it. And I didn't buy it because it just seemed like the guy was trying to get over and I thinking I was going to live in Atlanta because there's more women and stuff like that. I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't advised properly on that. And then I lost a lot of money. I lost, you know, people taking it, people not being cool about it, bad deals. As we say in tax world, bad debts and allowances. At least that's what I filed. but you lit best thing about life is these experiences. These experiences literally sharpen you.
So that's crazy. So at what point do you learn? So you haven't the things that all athletes go through as far as, you know, not all athletes, but a lot of athletes, unfortunately, where, you know, mismanagement, I'm assuming like your managers or whatever account financial advisor, you say people.
Well, they're not financial advisors. And that was the funniest thing. When they are, if this is the difference. I remember I asked Isaiah, I said, well, what do you do with your money? He said, I give my money to the same place the doctors and the lawyers give their money to. But the difference is our job life is less than the doctors and the lawyers. Mm. Like I wondered why one of my favorite, my lawyer now, my main lawyer, my day-to-day is Bradley Dock. And what's up, Bradley? And his father was a top OBGYN when I was and I saw him in a Rolls Royce. And I was like, man, I've always wanted one of these, man. And he goes, hey, you take it on the weekend. And I literally became friends with him. He let me drive it on the weekend. Let me tell you how crazy I am. I washed it and I'm driving down Jefferson and it hit me about the third light that I was in Detroit. With no top. Brought it back to his crib. But I literally got to experience being afraid of what do you do with a $200,000 car. Mm-hmm. I did some dumb thing. I bought another $200,000 car.
With the top on.
With the top on. And when I pulled up to the restaurant, the guy was like, oh, I got it, Mr. Sally. And he pulled the car up on the street. And I go, oh, no. Put it back there with cones around it and some lights. He's like, no, we leave it up front for you. I said, I can get sideswiped. And I was literally worried about my car getting sideswiped. And I was like, why am I worried about this car? And I sold it.
Isaiah gave you the advice that he puts his money where the doctors and the lawyers do.
Right.
Where were those places? What type of investments was he speaking about?
Just the financial advisor.
They weren't doing, God, I don't know how to say it. I think it's cool to open barbershops. I think it's cool to open things like that. Like, I have now my three daughters are going to own a black hair shop. I partnered with somebody that owns five of them. And then I was like, well, I'll open it here. You do the back end, we'll do the front end. We'll do the advertising, the pushing, the pictures, the lotions, the potions, the pills, what it is, you fill it in. And I did that because, you know, like my man Dame Dash says, I want my kids to be bosses. Mm-hmm. Tyler's a boss. Taya just turned 18 last week. And she was like, I need to make $15,000 a month. Figure it out. Walked away from me. You know, and everybody was like, what about college? And I've been thinking about it. And I just... My daughter Tyler was so brilliant. She goes, how much are you going to pay? She was at American University in her first year. And I said, you buy $53,000 a year just for tuition because she didn't want to play basketball or get a scholarship. She wanted to live life. And then the second year she came back and was like, So we got about 250 left, and I know I want to be in the cannabis business. So why don't you invest that in me in the cannabis business, and let's take off. And that was 4 years ago. And her first big contract was $1.2 million. Hmm. So it's, you know, we're waiting on how that pans out and the plan and her being the face. She was in the top 50 women in cannabis. And so just her building and understanding, I'm going to take all the arrows because I'm a pioneer, but at least whoever comes behind me is going to know. Isaiah guy literally looked out for him unbelievably. And I remember Wilt Chamberlain, I got to meet Wilt Chamberlain, and he said to me, I got these three Jewish guys, yeah, they like me. So they look out for me. Mm-hmm. And they did, they took care of Wilt, made sure, because you can't do two things at one time. You can't do them well. So unless you're a finance major, and if you go to college, you should be a finance major. You should learn how to code. You should do only things that's gonna help you in the future, period. And asking for a job isn't it. So Isaiah's guys, look, I'm in business with Isaiah now. I'm on an advisory board to One World Farmer. Mm-hmm. We're the largest cannabis, hemp, grow in the world. We are 1.9 million acres in Colombia. So we sell seeds to Germany and Spain. And I mean, when Isaiah first got it, I called him. And he kept saying, Sal, like I said, Zeke, I called you. You know, I said, I called you. I kept saying, dude, I don't know if you know how big that is. You know, how big it is, because hemp is going to be the future of medicine. Not by mistake. It's always been a future of medicine, but they held it up. And being able to grow it in the same place that used to be known for growing cocaine. The reason we don't grow cocaine in America is because we can't. We can grow hemp here, but not as efficiently year round. And the reason they grow poppy seeds or they have heroin in Thailand, because we can't grow it. Mm-hmm. So those tropical places don't have to worry about certain things. And I thought it was a great move to be in Colombia. Plus the government's involved. The Colombian government, knowing they had to pivot from being known as a cocaine place.
So let's get into this conversation about the marijuana industry. We'll start right there. That's interesting. So break that down a little bit as far as, so Isaiah, it's Isaiah Thomas's company, or he's involved with the situation?
He's the CEO of the company.
And they're growing hemp in Colombia, and they're sending it back to America?
Everywhere.
All over the world.
All over the world.
And it's for medical purposes?
Yeah, because it's the cannabis plant. Marijuana is a name that the Mexicans gave it for, like, wacky weed, make it a little crazy. And that's what they called it, marijuana. But the camp is this cannabis plant, and all humans have a cannabinoid system. So your body adapts to as soon as it gets the cannabinoid. They know it had different things on anti-inflammatory. Most of the problems in everything you do is inflammation. And they knew it had a soothing effect, and they knew it had a thing of attracting and attacking free radicals. Free radicals being known as cancerous cells, things that break down cells, too much energy, too much oxygen. These things are known to regulate your body. With no psychoactive part like the cannabis plant. So the hemp plant and the cannabis plant are sisters or brother sisters. The hemp plant doesn't need the bud. We can just use the complete plant for 200 different applications. The cannabis plant, which has the psychoactive part of it, of the THC, is a different one. They were slowing that down because if it would end the opioid crisis if we gave people cannabis. There'd be no reason to give you a pill to tell you don't have pain. And I tell people this all the time. If you have pain and you take a pill, an opioid, what it does is it finally breaks down in your blood, gets into your blood system, goes to your brain, shuts down to the reflectors or the synthesis telling you have pain. It doesn't heal it. The difference with a hemp plant is when you put that on, it literally starts the healing process, going into the cannabinoid system and building more strength, getting more worker cells. Being like when you get stem cell therapy, you put more cells in the area that help build. So the hemp plant can also make concrete, clothing, newspaper, and it's more, and you don't have to cut down forests to do it. It's easier to grow. It grows in 60 days as opposed to a tree taking 200 years to grow.
Yeah, so like now that's one of the big things here in the United States is obviously more states are making it illegal to have recreational medicinal marijuana. And so now people here are trying to grow it, but there's only certain places of the country that can even be.
That make it good.
That make it good, right? So more beneficial, obviously, to go the international route and do it. And what is the cost of overhead? Because I know it's very expensive to try to do it here. Plus, like I think Al Harrington was saying this to us, like even where we're from in New York, you have to have 20 years of farming experience to even get approved, which is like.
Yeah, they don't want, they only want certain people.
Right. So is international something that the common person can do?
Yeah, because if you invest, if you get involved in what's going on, remember, you can go to Amsterdam and they had coffee houses. They've been smoking weed since the 70s and not the same. I went to Amsterdam, there was a plant that literally was the size of a ficus tree, which is, everybody doesn't know, it's usually those tall trees right there or the ones behind you. And it was a brown bush. And it was a tree of cannabis. They had been doing it for so long. The research coming out of Israel, what is it, Tukalim? I think I said it right. In Jamaica, my boy Andre with I&I Genetics literally learned to grow in Amsterdam from Bronx, but he's Jamaican, and he's growing as if he's in Los Angeles. Really good weed. Because if you ever go to Jamaica, you can get ganja, which you would have to smoke the entire day. And then you will be Rasta at the end of the day because that's the only way to get it. Or you can smoke I&I Genetics and get the Cali weed, Cali mentality.
So I don't smoke weed, so.
What, you don't smoke weed? You don't eat vegan burgers? What the?
We're working on them, John.
I know,
but we're working on them. You know, I've been around marijuana smokers my entire life, so I know the lingo, but I still don't fully understand it. Cali bud, from my understanding, is like premier.
Right.
And what we have on the East Coast is not good. And you're saying ganja, I thought Jamaica always had good weed, but you're saying the ganja is not good? It doesn't get you high?
Not as high. So.
can we get a taste test?
This is the deal. You run into, the ganja has a low THC. That's a natural organic in how it grows. It's from their seeds, they get the seeds out of it, they throw it in their backyard, they let it grow up in the mountain, they take it, they dry it the best they can. Cannabis here in America has been genetically modified to take the THC to a different level. A lot of people.
You're crying, very passionate about this.
Yeah, man.
It's a passion project.
Yeah, because it's so funny. On this one show, my cousin said, "What's wrong with your eye?" And what it is I had my eyes operated on, so I didn't have to wear glasses, and it just waters all the time.
It's all good.
Yeah. but that's the difference. You get there, and it's on a stick, and it's brown, and it's like marijuana. Like the marijuana that the marijuana that sometimes comes out of Mexico, it's just it's not doesn't do the job, I would say.
I've heard.
Yeah. So you heard, right? But in that, to check it. So you asked me about the cost. It's going to be a little bit low. No one's going to be able to outsell One World Farmer when it comes to hemp and cannabis, period. Because one, no one has 1,000,009 acres of just cannabis and hemp that won't cross collateralize, meaning when the wind blows, all of a sudden, this plant can become a male plant and not put any bud out. We have so much land that this whole side can be, you can be growing in Beverly Hills hemp and be growing downtown Los Angeles cannabis. That's how much land it is.
Wow.
And they're two separate, totally different things.
Two separate things. Where, and with two extraction facilities being built as we speak. So literally the import is going to be less than anybody can do anything, even out of Colorado.
So are you able to import domestically here to the United States? Is there
hemp.
Still? Okay.
Not cannabis. Not yet. Cannabis. Not yet. Okay. When soon as they do, they're going to want that. Yeah. They're going to want, there's going to be places like, okay, North Carolina makes cigarettes, right? We know that. And Winston-Salem makes cigarettes. But you can get Dunhill, you can get Campbell, you can get all these other things, clove from all around the world. And if you're going to get, if you're going to be in the weed business and you own a dispensary and it's going to cost you less money to get my product with the same effect, you would pay less and sell it for less. So the prices are going to drop.
CBD. Yeah. You hear this term a lot. I'm still not 100% sure what actually CBD is or what it does. It's oils, it's cream, it's everything. What's the deal with CBD?
It's a cannabinoid. So it's literally the life from inside of the plant. And what I have with the company I'm with, Title Sport, Conor McGregor is our partner in our face. It's a recovery. We got a chrono spray. We'll be in CVS throughout the country by December. We start in 400 stores in May. And 3 months after that, we're in 800 stores. So we'll be in 2,700 stores before we get to the 9,500 after a year. When you use the CBD, so say you hurt your knuckle, right? You hurt your wrist, or you hurt your wrist, and you grab your wrist, and you're looking at it. It doesn't look any different, but it hurts. That's a note from here, that where the pain is, ran up your arm through your electrical system into your brain, told the brain what it was, back to it. When you put a CBD on it, if you put any kind of anything else, I'm not going to say any other companies, Icy Hot, you put that on, that just works on the top part of your skin. It gets to the sensors and say, the CBD literally can penetrate the derma. I'm going to get so many arguments on this. Yeah. The reason I know this is because a certain company has a trademark on one that only stays it and doesn't get into the blood system. And that's another thing. They're going to say, is it going to mess with this? It's not. This is literally goes into your body as a calming system and tells your body, this is where. I got CBD nightly that within 15 minutes, you will feel drowsy and go to sleep.
So,
guaranteed.
Because again, Al Harrington did say this to us when at the tail end of his career, he started using CBD. Mm-hmm. Why do you think more sports leagues don't allow it? I think NBA just allowed marijuana to be used as a drug amongst the league. I think so.
I'm going back. I can do it. The reason I think is they always want to be last. This is a controversial statement I'm about to say. They'll use an athlete to push a vaccine that hasn't been approved by the FDA because that's how you get the public to pay attention because mm-hmm. the FDA won't approve it. But they know that the athletes have that much power. So if athletes start talking about my treatment is CBD, mm-hmm. think about how many companies go out of business. Your Advils, your Tylenols, your NyQuils, you're destroying a complete system from a plant that they've been trying to hold down since, I think, 1919, since even when people were trying to douse themselves with alcohol. Mm-hmm. They knew that this was a powerful thing, but so many industries will go down when people can now, and if you can grow marijuana in your house or grow hemp in your backyard, just like this ficus tree, and you were able to get it and make teas of it and mash it down, you're going to destroy a whole system. Mm-hmm. And so they understand that. And they understand that I remember that I saw this cartoon and a guy goes to a homeless person and says, why are you not afraid of COVID? And he said, I don't watch television. And I thought about it. If you didn't watch TV, if they didn't hit you in the head with it, if it wasn't over the whole time, your fear would be nil. You would have no fear of it if you're not constantly told to fear it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody says, oh, we got antiviral things and we got things that kill this. We got things that kill bacteria. We got things that kill viruses. You'd be like, oh, I'm good. But they got to keep you afraid. They got to keep these companies in position. And they don't really care. I just heard on the radio coming here, 16 people had blood clots with Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. And they were like, but that's great. 8 million people were given it. And only 16 problems? Well, you got to know if you get a pharmaceutical, there's going to be side effects. There's no side effects to cannabis. Sleep.
Yeah.
Joy. Less than a, not giving a hell about anything. Yeah, you know, less stress. This is a miracle plant. And I didn't smoke either. I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. My brothers were this crazy athletes who they smoke weed, but I couldn't. And I used to be in the bathroom when they were smoking. I guess I got a contact hearing these crazy stories as they got crazier as they got higher. And I just thought, you know, it was a great thing. And then, you know, I was a big fan of Richard Pryor, and Richard Pryor, you know, talked against drugs after, so I didn't want to do it. Plus, I didn't want to be known as anything other than the John Sally I've been working to be my whole life.
One of the things I read that you were created was the cannabis plan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never even heard of this, but it's an insurance specifically for the cannabis industry.
Yeah.
What are the inner details of that?
So what happens is if you were to go to the doctor and you were sick or you were in a car accident, they're going to check your blood. They're going to check your blood for alcohol. They also check it for cannabis, opioids, narcotics, everything, because they don't want to pay you. They want to say it was your situation. If they're testing you at work and they test you for drugs and cannabis is legal in your state, they can't not give you this, give you what you deserve. They can't put you out because of drugs. You can't fail a drug test. The insurance is if people find out that you smoke cigarettes, they will be like, well, it's going to be less. Well, if you smoke cannabis, they're going to be like, is it even going to be like, we're not doing that. We understand that if you're going to do something different. If you smoke cannabis, it's because you want to feel better. That's a good thing. So I don't have to give you depression medicine and pay for that. And if you got a company, and a lot of people didn't have this insurance that own these companies, they own these cannabis places, and you want to give them insurance, this is a great place. All you got to do is guarantee, say once a year you're going to do this complete physical, and when you do that physical, you're going to submit the physical, and you get your insurance. Anything happens, you get paid. They cannot fire you, hold anything back from you from this cannabis plant. It's been approved, and the insurance companies weren't understanding that and weren't trying to insure people. So I got my boy Darren Phillips. He used to be with Aflac, I don't know, 15, 20 something years, and he was like, this is it, we're going to offer it to different dispensaries and we're going to offer it individually.
So the CBD, when you put that cream on, because I think this is what I'm trying to give people, the full education, because the people that's like anti marijuana and they like, I don't want to use drugs, I don't want to put anything in my
system. If you don't want to use drugs, you cannot go to Rite Aid, Walgreens, or CVS. Everything inside there is a drug. Everything inside there is made in a factory, and everything inside there has a side effect and a backfire. And to the point where the government, because a couple of things you guys are going to take, well, you can't sue them if anything goes wrong. Oh, they left that part out. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I tell people drugs are made, and drugs are made in factories and from and are given to you in a drug form. Cannabis or hemp, oil, plant, cream, lotion, potion, drink is literally only you drinking a vegetable. You putting a vegetable on your arm, you spraying a vegetable, that's all it is. It's a plant. It's a plant made by God, not a plant made in a plant.
Right. But so what I'm saying is, like, without THC, THC is the part that gets you high.
Right.
But you can, correct me if I'm wrong, the CBD and all that doesn't have THC in it.
None.
So that's just the medical part of the marijuana plant, without the THC part.
The THC is psychoactive, meaning you're going to be a little loopy. My mom, she passed last year, God rest her soul, 96. But I bring her the CBD in a spray form, so like a banaka, put it under her tongue. Man, she was in the nursing home. Nurse, come here. You gotta try this. Plus, your breath is hard. She wanted everybody on CBD after a while. And she was like, man, if I knew this is the way it made you feel, why didn't they tell us? I said, well, they wanted you not to like it. And they wanted you to be afraid of it. But if I told you to take an antibiotic, you would either tell me you were allergic to antibiotics or which antibiotic you've taken in your life. And those stay in your body for 2 years, really rough on your kidneys, terrible job on your liver, bad for your testosterone, bad for your sperm count. Everything about this antibiotic, understand this, it's an antibody. It destroys the body. It's anti.
Well, that's interesting. So let's talk about this company, Deuces.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Well, my basketball number was 22, and if you guys didn't know that, I retired at Georgia Tech.
Oh, we need something from you before I forget.
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner, shout out to him. He's giving us a signed Seahawks jersey. So.
Oh, you're going to give me a signed Bobby Wagner jersey? That's dope. That is dope. I like Wagner.
Preferably the Detroit 22 jersey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We got to put that on the EYL.
I'm going to hook it up. I'm going to hook it up. I'm going to find one. Ronnie Rosenbaum will hook it up.
Appreciate that.
What was your next question?
Oh, yeah. Deuces.
So, my basketball number, and all my kids had it except the last one. She wanted number 14. Crazy chick. Anyway, and it was a trip, too, because she was born on April 21st. And, we were having a C-section. I was like, you can wait 24 hours, right?
One more day.
She was like, no. And so she's born on 21st. Anyway, when I was getting into business, and my daughter was saying it, we were talking about all these different things we should do. I don't know if you saw me, but I was on a Hollywood psychic, and this young guy with the blonde hair is reading me. And my daughter and I were having a conversation from the house to the shoot, and all we were talking about was cannabis. And when he was sitting there, and he started sweating profusely and moving, and he was like, what do you want to talk about? I said, I want to talk about business. He goes, go into business with your daughter. It's going to be successful. But you're doing something in vegan food. I wanted to get up and walk away because no one knew Tyler and I had this conversation because we had just decided then. And then we said, well, let's get into it. And we went to our first convention downtown because I said, if we're going to smoke weed, why are we buying it? Why do we not know from seed to sale? Why am I buying it and not understanding it? And Al Harrington has been, even though he's my little brother, and, you know, I've always looked and been cool with Al. I thought he was an amazing specimen of a human. You ever see this dude's body? And he, like, 19-year-old, you know, killing people. I always loved Al. But when he got into Viola and he got David Stern to sit down and have a conversation with him, it was smarter to stand behind him and let him trail the blaze. Blaze the trail. And you know, I act like a player now. Just come behind and go, I'm great. This is why they gave me millions of dollars. No, it's because of what came in front of you. And every step Al has made, good and bad, we've learned from. We decided to be a packaging company. So Deuces 22 makes the package for cannabis that we buy from boutique sellers. So one, you're not going to see our weed everywhere. And two, it's like having Louis the 13th. Because if I'm in that city, because I don't travel with cannabis, if I'm in another city and they have a dispensary, I want to be able to buy my cannabis and know it's bomb. I don't want you to be like, yo, here, you can have it, it's whack. I don't want that. And I don't want you to bootleg me and buy my packaging anywhere downtown LA, put your weed in it and sell it all over. I don't want to do that. So the only way I feel we can control it is by controlling the packaging. And the only way we can control it and teach is to film. So I'm going to send you guys a piece, a clip of my daughter, of the show we're shooting, every single step of the way. Because the way you're asking questions is exactly the same way everyone else is asking, because they want to be sure they've heard it. So we want you to go along with our ride as we're deciding. And I mean, we went up to Humboldt, which is the most amazing place for cannabis. The whole Humboldt County is cannabis driven. That means everybody in the county is in the cannabis business. So their basketball team, football team, cheerleading squad, baseball team, drill team is all financed by cannabis. And all those families know it. And all the kids know their fathers are master growers, they're transporters, They all know it, and they're left to do that. So we went up there, and we saw outside grow, which was amazing. That was growing silver haze outside that literally had fell off the face of earth, but it was a really good high. And he had 30 pounds, so we bought the 30 pounds. And now that silver haze is going to be in our product, and people can say, oh, this is outside grown. This is organically grown. So the same way I treat my body with a plant base is the same way I treat my weed. Mm. I don't talk about against anybody else, but it's another reason we're growing in Colombia. It's organic. There are Vital Garden Supply. My boy Brian Mayland has been in Colombia for 7 years now, making sure that they don't buy the Roundup stuff. I had a company called Pure Crop One. My partners at the time didn't like the way I marketed it. I said I was taking on Monsanto. They were like, yo, chill. No, I want you to know we're here. So it's literally as we grow it, how you grow it, what we like about it, where to get it, all of that is in Deuces. And we got Deuces Academy, which literally teaches the same way. Like, if you want to get in the cannabis business, you can go into Deuces Academy, learn from rooter to tutor, from seed to sale, what position you want to be in. This is the future of medicine, and it's the future of business. This is the wild, wild, wild west right now, but it's going to be, think about this. I can say back in the day, you got a joint, and you'd be like, right? Now, you know, you said, you got a joint? No, hold on, my bong's in the car. And I'm gonna vape. It's moving so fast that it won't be a thing that people are afraid of. No more dogma.
So when you do the packaging, because you said you're a packaging company, I'm like, especially when you're doing like food and drugs, the FDA has to put certain things like what's inside, his amount of nutrients, carbs and all that. What has to go on the packaging for your marijuana?
Well, first thing, my packaging, no one's gonna duplicate it. And the reason they're not gonna duplicate it because it costs too much to make it. Mm-hmm. And our packaging, when you open it and close it, it was able to settle itself back to 70 degrees inside. So your weed is going to stay alive longer. Second, we're putting augmented reality on top of it, which is when you take your cell phone, that's why we got the Academy, you look at it and you're going to see almost like Princess Leia. She pops up on the top, says, thank you for purchasing. Like, we literally gone that far to the security of our weed. And so nobody knocks us off. I mean, I somebody gave me a Louis Vuitton and then gave me a Louis Vuitton from the street. You couldn't tell the difference. I was like, I want you to be able to tell the difference. And what's inside? In California, these are the rules. Sativa, how much THC, how much CBD. Year, the month, and the crop it comes from. All that is on it. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted not to have old growers. So they wanted these new rules, which are ridiculous. There's these regulations on top of regulation on top of regulations, which makes it to only the big guys really are gonna be able to grow this weed. Mm-hmm. The small growers won't be able to survive. And that's the corporate structure coming involved in it. The reason we only sell flower is we wanted to stay, Tyler's mentality is to stay true to the essence of cannabis and not manipulate it. I had the best looking vape pens and stuff. She was like, I don't want to go that route. I want to stick to the cannabis.
Do you guys control distribution as well?
Yeah, so we're with a social equity, which is called Goverte down in South Central, and we're Green Haven, LA, on 420 down on, I can give the address now, but it was 64th Street. We had like a block party, and we hire everybody from the hood to work in the growing of our weed, the packaging of our weed, the distribution of our weed. So we have 5 different licenses, and we're doing it slowly but by ourselves. My girl Chauncey brought us in, so now if somebody says, what's your number? I have my cell number. I have everything. The cop's still gonna pull me over.
All right, so let's talk about this vegan situation.
Yeah.
So you have a vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
In San Bernardino, California. Shout out to the IE. Mm-hmm. What is the deal with that? You gave me some interesting information as far as why you actually put it there.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with that?
Well, watching y'all, I love how like detailed sometimes when people are, like, I liked it when the guy was talking about NFTs.
Okay.
I have a dope NFT. Okay. I have a picture of Kanye from 2005 that my camera had a glitch, I thought. And it's a picture of him moving, and all of you see him, but then you see this spirit out of him. And I call it the spirit of hip hop. And everybody's ever seen it kept saying, Kanye got that? And I go, no, I'm not giving it to him yet. but it's a,
Kanye, if you
right. I was like trying to get in. So I always like that this show explains things to you can get into. The reason Loma Linda has the most vegetarians, it's a block away. It's a blue zone, meaning, and there's only 8 blue zones in the world, and one of them is Loma Linda. People live more centenarians. I think I said that right, centenarians. People who live past 100. Y'all figure it out. I'm just learning this language. and literally it was like 4 different vegan restaurants there, and a lot of them taste like, you know, they had sand in the food. I'm not clowning anybody. It was just whack, you know. We didn't have any seasoning, no flavor. So my boy Terrence and his wife Shiloh, I had helped them with their CBD store only in the design. Because I went to the design and he would throw some things at me and I would say, no, that's not a good idea to go there, because he wanted to put a CBD kiosk inside of a mall. I said, no one's going to buy it because you're not going to the ball to buy this CBD. And he goes, we got a chance to open up a cafe. And I'm thinking, cannabis cafe. I'll tell you why this is so cool. When they do allow it, my address is 420 East Hospitality Lane. Mm. Like, I have the cafe, and it's an art gallery / really good vegan food with flavor. My partner's a chef. They and he's you know, New Orleans boy. So our po' boy tastes like a po' boy. Our hamburger tastes like a hamburger, and I'm always telling people that, because if you like McDonald's, Wendy's, or Burger King, you really don't like hamburgers. You just don't. That's just quick to go get that. That's not real food. But if you go to Carl's Jr. and you go to places that have burgers made, you know they're 15 minutes making that burger, not 4. That's the difference with our food. It tastes like the bad stuff, but it's not. And it's seasoned all the way through. And there's a full menu that took us, we're 9 months into it. We opened June 26th in the middle of the pandemic, and our lines were around the block in the hot sun. I'm out there giving people lemonade, squirting them with water. I got about 5 lawsuits. No, I'm joking. No, but I'm out there. You know, I bring a certain energy when we're in. And then I'm going to open downtown L.A., but only on a weekend. I'm gonna do a weekend brunch. It's gonna be a bottomless brunch. Same way you can get lit off of mimosas and champagne. And God willing, I already know, because I'm in business with Isaiah, it's gonna be Sherlyn, which is Isaiah's champagne company. Do you know Isaiah became the only American and Black American to own a champagne company, not at Jay-Z Solis company? And Sherlyn is the number one selling champagne in America. We wouldn't even know that. That's just how Isaiah does things. So I'm literally finding ways to move our products to as many places as we possibly can. And I found out we're like the only 2 athletes that play together that make money together. That's a scary, scary, scary thought.
What do you think that is?
Would taught to be solo in everything. So you get drafted. You get drafted as a linebacker. When you get to camp, there's 12 linebackers now.
I gotta be better than all of them.
Every day,
yeah.
Right? And then the next week, there's another 12. And then there's another 12. And next year, there's another 12. And there's another 12. So you don't become friends with your teammates. It's a rare thing. You look at Ocho Cinco and those guys doing their podcast. None of those guys play together, but they have a common bond. And we're all taught to, in the NBA, we're 12 individual companies working for one company, working for a company that's owned by a big company. So I may love you, but why Westbrook goes to the basket so hard? Because he's not going to pass it to anybody else. It's not going to happen. So it's And we've been given certain things, but it's always like, oh, yo, I don't do. And I tell people now, I'm a solo artist. I don't really have time to deal with people who are afraid of taking life examples. And Isaiah knew I knew so much about cannabis. I gave his wife some of my CBD one time, and he was like, send me the bill, like, and keep sending it. And then next thing you know, his son was like, I know weed like Sal. And so they got into the cannabis, he got into the head, and I told him, I'm in the CBD. My daughter Tyler's in the cannabis. That's because I went to Adam Silver, man, and I said, hey, I want to be the first CBD in the business. He was like, okay, Sal, just call me. Like, he didn't want to hear it, because if you start advertising CBD, none of those commercials are going to come on. I tried to go to the Food Network and pitch 3 different shows on veganism, and I was wondering why. Was it me? Did I not know how to do television? I knew how to do television. Was I too tall? No. All of the sponsors are meat. So why would they have a CBD company on? A vegan company. You can't do it. Same thing with CBD. You can't literally have a CBD ad and talk about Lipitor and talk about Xerizin and talk about, you know, your penis falling off if you take this. And if you do, call your doctor. You know, you can't have those things. So in the cannabis, I literally feel, when I thought about it, I thought it could be a brand. Black people, 50% of all the CEOs of cannabis are female, first time ever. Black people are still 1%, and we're 90% of the people in jail for the infractions. So the social equity, Rick Ross, I met with him. I saw him, I was supposed to meet with him. I saw him in Atlanta. And they were like, that's Rick Ross. I was like, I know, that's why I'm getting my food to go. Nah, he was a cool dude. Cool
Snowfall.
Dude. Yeah, man.
The real Snowfall.
Real dude, real guy.
LeBron or Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
There's no hesitation in that one.
There was a hesitation.
Yeah, it was slight. Huh?
It was slight. I'm going to say this. And I said this before. Only reason I say MJ is if you would have asked me that, if you were to say MJ or Dr. J, I would have said Dr. J. Right? Because I always talk about the one before.
Yeah.
LeBron is the most unbelievable human specimen next to Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman is not from this planet. I think I saw him in the movie Contact one time or some shit. He's not from here. And LeBron is 6'10", 265 pounds, 11% body fat, jumps 48 inches off the ground, loves to play basketball, so focused, and doesn't have a problem in showing you his multiple ways of being great. That was learned from MJ. So I say this, there's Tide soap detergent, then Kobe was Tide Plus, and then LeBron is Tide Wintergreen.
The evolution.
He's pods.
It's safe to say he kept that answer clean.
Yes.
How do you feel about the NBA's structure, business?
I love corny jokes.
Business structure.
I do. It's one of my favorite things in the world, man. I love them.
How do you feel about the NBA's business structure? There's not enough, in my opinion, GMs. They're making more headway, but it's still a long way to go as far as GMs, general managers, front office, let alone ownership. That's a whole different conversation, but how do you feel about the business structure of the NBA relative to the players being almost all black? And
what are the general managers going to do different being black if they were white? Elgin Baylor was, God rest his soul, the original Deuces, was a general manager for
the Clippers.
For the Clippers with Stern, and told everybody how racist he was and lost his job, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a look, but you're gonna have to call the owner and ask for a certain. My boy Lance Blanks played with me, was doing something in basketball. Joe Dumars is in Sacramento. There's like four or five others. It's when we say we don't want things, and I'm gonna get ridiculed for this, we say we don't want things based on race, but then when we want things, we base our race. We use our race, right?
Explain that.
So, man, you know, they should be doing it, but you know, because they're racist. No, they may be prejudiced. You know, they prejudge you and don't think you're gonna do a good job, but not now because they don't think black people can't lead a team. It's just there's more people saying, I want to do this, and they're in a position. Remember, a lot of things have nepotism. A lot of things have who you know, how you know, which way you know it. Remember, Steve Kerr was doing, he was an announcer. Mm-hmm. Next you know, he was a head coach.
And GM.
And they made.
Well, GM first, then head coach.
Then they made Mark Jackson.
An announcer.
Yeah.
It was a trip, right?
Took his team and won a championship.
Right. And are you looking at that as color, or are you looking at that as who you wanted? You had better leadership. You have a guy who has three championships and putting in a system, and guys are more, not even going to say relatable. Certain guys you relate too much to, you treat them like your friend as opposed to an authority figure. I think the NBA is a great move on what they're doing in all of their race relations, way better than any other sport. So if you got the chops, you're going to get the job. They'll move you in that position. If you got the chops, you're going to get the job. Most of the time, there's a lot of shadiness. No one even knew that you can trade a coach. They traded Doc Rivers from the Celtics to the Clippers. A coach. They traded the coach.
Yeah, that was ill.
Yeah, and no one cared. I was like, but then he came here, and now they traded him to Philadelphia, and he has the power in Philadelphia. It all trips me out. What I think is that we should start a league in Ghana, Kenya, Uganda. We should do a lead in Africa.
Well, how do you feel about that? Well, I'm glad you said that. NBA Africa, you're up on that, right? You familiar with that?
Yeah.
A lot of people were tremendously disappointed with that because they're like, there's no NBA Europe. Europe has its own league. There's no NBA China. China has its own league. So why does Africa allow the NBA to have NBA Africa? Why don't the Africans just develop their own league in Africa like every other continent has?
Yeah. It's because it's like, I'm going to give you a really good excuse, a really good answer. every artist, recording artist, should go solo, should go independent. Why would they sign with Atlantic? Atlantic literally has more outreach, more experience, more identifiable. I think I said that word right too. They've already established, they have a connection. It's like almost a pipeline to the big show. The big show is the NBA. I'll never let anybody tell you, the European, I played in Greece for 6 weeks. It was a great experience, but we still went to a place where they had one shower and it was a hole coming out of the wall, and they still like had riot police at the games. I mean, it was a trip. It wasn't like the NBA. The NBA is the creme de la creme. So with the NBA doing it, the NBA did that is because they want the pipeline. So they went in and they made it a pipeline. So you're going to get more Giannis. You're going to get more Mutombos. You're going to get
Siakam.
Yeah, you're going to get more because it's trained there. They're ready. Bring them to the show. And the NBA did it like they did with, remember they used to call it the D League,
yeah,
which was a dumb name. Now it's the G League. Yeah. I said it was a dumb name when it came out. It was the D League. Don't leave for dummies. Don't do that. Like, make it something else. Make it like some gangster league, some shit, right? but I think it was a smart thing because the NBA in Europe, you can only have two Americans on your team, right? But you can have as many Europeans on the team as you want. That's crazy. It was a crazy attitude. It wasn't only two black guys. Two Americans, because you guys are going to change the dynamic of what we're trying to do here in Europe. Argentina, playing down in Argentina with Ginobili. It was one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. And he's from Argentina. Ever. I've seen everybody.
Underrated.
Too.
One of my favorites of all time.
Oh, yeah. Ever. And I don't watch basketball until it's playoff time. Mm. Because that's when I get paid to do podcasts, except this one.
Shout out to Ginobili. Hall of Fame. You showed us Steve Kerr 2 championships. You said 3.
As a player?
Yeah, 5.
As a player?
Yeah. 3 with the Bulls, 2 with the Spurs.
Oh, that's right. He did go to the Spurs.
Yeah.
Got lost, though. Like, give you an example. One of my favorite coaches is Greg Popovich, and I've never played for Greg Popovich. And when I was in the wine, I just wanted to send him wine. It just reminded me of a guy you want to play with. And this is why. You do something to Greg Popovich, just look at you like, and you know what he's saying. You know what he's saying just from looking at you. It's like, and he look at you again. And then boom, 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 he goes, whatever. And then he'll look at you and what you call. He goes, are you ready now? And I see him say that to a player. Be like, yeah, all right. He said, no, seriously, you ready now? He said, all right, such and such. That's a confidence builder. That yelling at you, screaming at you, pointing at the court, you'll get kicked in the face the wrong time.
kicked in the face.
Yeah, like, you know, the ball, you throw the ball like you're throwing it around, really throwing it at your coach.
Or choked like the Charles Fremont
did. Yeah, man.
Shout out to Spree.
Shout out to PJ.
Yeah, shout out to PJ.
Took it like a champ.
PJ's beard come all the way down to here now.
Need a cushioning for that.
Different league. That was a different league.
Yeah,
different time. That's been a very enjoyable conversation, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
What are you working on? Obviously, you know, you spoke about the CBD and the restaurant. Yeah. What would you like to tell the people? What can they look forward to seeing more of you? How can they find out information on your business endeavors, all of that?
Well, you can go to johnsalley.com, S-A-L-L-E-Y. But I got betterlifeproducts.com. So I'm literally selling my new product. It's called Better Belly, which literally helps. It's 16 different mushrooms that help eliminate toxins from your lower intestine.
Better Belly?
Better, B-E-T-T-A.
It makes your belly go lower?
It literally. For those that don't know, the cameraman is over there sitting there saying ho ho ho. I'm just saying, he just don't have his red. Oh my God!
Why you did that?
Get in my belly. No, it literally flattens. So I tell people, your stomach is here. Well, this is your heart, more this way, and your stomach is right here. Mm-hmm. This is your lower intestines. So when you got a belly, you have inflamed lower intestines. You have about 20 pounds of unprocessed feces or unprocessed food. This Better Belly is like a Roto-Rooter, but it doesn't give you diarrhea. It literally encapsulates it, and in 6 hours you will go. So we put you on for 5 days on, 2 days off, 5 days on, 2 days. It's a 22-day program. I know it sounds crazy.
You just go to the bathroom like nonstop.
No. So what happened is you take it before 9:30 at night in 16 ounces of water, and in the morning, I always teach people when you get up, you wake up on your right side. Sounds crazy. So all you men, if you're sleeping on the bed, sleep on the right side. Even though you might like lean it on this side, get up this way. And you get up, you sit up, you grab the water that you put there because you know you got to pee and you got to go to the bathroom real bad. As opposed to jumping up and going to the bathroom, drink that water on the way to pee. Putting gas back in your locomotive and you're putting weight on it and you're going to move out. You're going to feel everyone. I have testimony from women who have lost 40 pounds, who literally had crazy problems in their bodies. And it's spelled B-E-T-T-A. It's like Spike did Mo Better.
Yeah.
So it stands for Better Eating Today, Tomorrow, Always. So it's Better Belly. So it's really just a system that I'm helping people move into. I was on the radio and Dr. Sabi called me and said, I hear you talking this health things. You don't know anything. It was like 16 years ago. I was like, well, come on the show and talk about what I'm not doing. Not understanding that he didn't realize. I filmed. This is how far, for 10 years, I've been 5 years ahead of myself. Not bragging, but I filmed.
For 10 years, you've been 5 years ahead of yourself.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
I got the math on that.
Yeah, I've been so far. Yeah,
Back to the Future.
I filmed all my interviews on radio. Ananda Lewis and I had John Sally block party. I took over for Steve Harvey. I filmed everybody. I got Coco, Ice-T, Kanye, John Legend, Pharrell, anybody, Mariah Carey, everybody that came on, I filmed them. And they were like, we never saw this. No one was doing it. Nobody. I did exactly what the Breakfast Club was doing, because when you watch it, it's a better show. So I literally found this. I have I did 6 months of tapes too, and I taped every day. I had the station buy the cameras, and I never returned them. But they just disappeared.
Added to the collection.
Yeah, you know, I did. I have three beautiful cameras that have DV tapes. well, I said it. So that's why. And when I realized that more people would listen to me when on Thursday I would have psychics come on, my numbers went through the roof. And then Chris Tucker called and said, man, you can't be doing all that demonized thing. I said, you mean like the prophets in the Bible? But anyway, I don't want to get into that. what I did is I realized, I mean, when I talk health, then that was going to be my focus. I started realizing, what do I want to do, right? You say, earn your leisure, which is a great thing. I want to not ever work and make money. And how do you do that? Is you do the things you love to do and it makes you money. So me helping people realize how to treat their avatar, not just polish your car and put armor all on the wheels and an inside, do the same way you treat your car and inanimate objects that you love, treat your body the same way. So that's why I said it had to be better. We had to be more better. But I couldn't say more better because then Spike would have sued me. You know, he's good with the lawyers. Now, he wouldn't have said anything, but I just thought it was better to call it better. And I say, your way of doing things may be good, mine is better.
You signed up?
Yeah, he signed up. I know, he's gonna be one of my first people that sit and say, I got this all laid out. I tell you. And it works on men as well as women, which is a very rare product. And it's the best thing. It gets rid of acne, back pain, knee pain. And people are saying, why? Because it's helped move all the uric acid out of your body.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. John Sally, it's been a pleasure, my brother.
Man.
I was in health science, man.
Really?
Yeah. I felt like I was back in class.
Just yeah.
Now. You still play ball?
No. If you throw a basketball at me, I will duck. And somebody said, hey, man, just play for fun. I said, man, they stopped that in 1982. When I got to Georgia Tech, and I was like, yo, where's the pickup games? They looked at me and said, pickup games?
They ain't doing that.
And I went to see it, and they were like, that kid don't have no reason to be on court. You got every reason to be on court. So I had to learn not to play for fun anymore. I was at Cedric's house for a barbecue, Cedric the Entertainer, and this young kid, they were like, this kid is nice. I was like, yo, dog, I'm the defensive man of the world. And he shooky and went left. And he went by me so fast, I had to look this way to see him. Like, I would have had whiplash if I did that. He went by me and my legs didn't move. And I was like, how did it happen? And they didn't even move a little bit. They just were standing there. He was by me and I went, and I looked at my legs, oh, I'm done.
It's over.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some CBD for that.
I did, man. I did a burpee and tore my meniscus. And I was like, yeah, I'm not in this. All right, thanks, man.
Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. That is our Proud to Pay program. Obviously, TFI members, shout out to all y'all. Y'all have access to EYL University, the number one place for everything in the world of business education. Shout out to over 8,000 earners that we have on our platform. We greatly appreciate y'all, not for just getting the information, but actually executing on it. So shout out to y'all, and shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch, and shout out to the merch team and everybody that is part of the EYL team. We can't do this without y'all, so love is love.
So my sweatshirt is in the mail.
Gotcha. Right. You spoke to the right guy.
4X, 5X? No, hold on, I'm 2X.
He ain't finished. Where you going?
Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Oh, that was such a Russell Simmons ending. Thank you for coming. Good night.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card.
you can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of 3 and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.